On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On The Pace.
Sprinter down the outside, finishing brilliantly. Look at Sprinter, he's got the right name.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtide. Some Bowtide brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back, all right. He's making a mess of them.
Bringing you all the latest harness racing happenings from around New South Wales and across the country.
And it is time for On The Pace. Here we go. We're talking about Retro, the man who hosted the very first On The Pace many years ago. Come on down, Greg Hayes. Morning, Hazy.
Morning, Cozzy. Gee, that has been a dream of mine for you to say come on down.
Come on down. It's a new Greg Hayes.
Mate, really big show coming up this morning. We've got a number of guests to catch up with. I want to speak with Brendan Barnes, who's a young driver who's come down from Queensland, made his home in New South Wales, and he's having an absolute wow of a season. I heard Freddie Hastings give Brendan a massive rap going back sometime last week after he drove a winner, and I thought it was time we caught up with Brendan. I tried to line him up going back a couple of weeks ago, but he was busy getting a tat. So we'll get him on the show this morning. Darren Hancock's going to join us as well. He's got Fly Like an Eagle going around at the trials at Menangle today. Of course, he was a top-line pacer, spent time with Mark Purden, and the horse was then retired to stud. Actually, he stood at Yirrabee and is back in work, so we'll have a chat to Darren about it. Jason Grimson, he's made a move to Sydney. Now, a lot of people wouldn't know that. Very talented junior reinsman, and I would be very surprised if he doesn't get a lot of opportunities going forward. People will be looking to use his claim. And we're also going to catch up with Kyle Harper, who's a driver that spent some time in America recently. He's a WA trainer driver. He's had a lot of success over in Western Australia. He went over to America and enjoyed some great success when he drove over there. He drove a winner at Yonkers and a horse by the name of Fort Knox. So I thought we'd catch up with Kyle today and just see what that experience was like and whether he plans on heading back to America or whether he's back in Australia to stay. So they're the guests that are coming up on the show this morning.
Brendan Barnes joins you.
Brendan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Really well, mate. Congratulations on the form you're in at the moment. How are you enjoying being in Sydney?
Yeah, it's good. It's sort of been lucky I've been able to have a bit of luck straight away, so it's been good.
What was behind the decision making the move from Queensland?
Oh, well, there was a number of things, but mainly just the racing up home wasn't sort of going too strong, and got offered a job down here with Kev and just jumped at it.
I think since you've been in New South Wales and you've been here since March, you've driven 35 winners, and as you mentioned, you really hit the ground running, and a horse that you've got a great affinity with is Alta Jerome, one of Kevin Pizzuto's horses. You just seem to click with that horse.
Yeah, he's a nice horse, and that sort of that helps a lot. I just don't have to do much on him.
And did it just happen straight away? Like when you started driving him work, did you just pick up an affinity with him straight away?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I won my first race drive on him too.
Okay. So what is it about that horse that you know? Obviously, he's got a lot of ability, but he seems to roll well for you.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I think we just click together and just have a bit of a bond.
Tell us a little bit about your history and how you got into the sport.
I grew up around horses. Dad's always sort of trained a couple, and I left school at a young age, and sort of all I've really ever known, and started driving on my 16th birthday. I had my first race drive, and here I am now.
And what's your plans going forward? You're happy with how everything's going for you in Sydney? You're here to stay?
Yeah, hopefully that's the plan anyway.
And what about dreams? What do you want to do in the sport in the future?
Oh, I'd like to eventually set up on my own and train a few, but at the moment I'm happy just driving.
Yeah, just driving. And is there a horse that maybe we can follow that you got a good association with at the moment that you think's not too far off a win?
I don't know. They're all going all right at the minute.
Okay. Well, you got a few drives on Saturday night. I thought we might touch base on a few of those. Match Point is one of the horses out of the Pizzuto stable that you've been driving that you've had a fair bit of success on recently. He looks like he's in career best form.
Yeah, he's flying. He's won three of his last four, and I think he went 151.8 on last Tuesday. So, yeah, he's going really good.
All right. What about Leave It To Me on Saturday night? Do you give it a hope?
Yeah, her first up run was really good, so hopefully we can get a bit of luck and see how we go.
Okay. Extreme Prince, what do you think of its chances?
He's going really well also. I was very happy with his run at Penrith 2 starts ago, and last week he sort of was held up and never got a look at him.
Okay. And race six, this is the feature race. This is the Group 3 on Saturday night. And Alta Jerome has come up with gate two. He hasn't won in his last three starts, but from the good draw, he shouldn't be too far away.
Yeah, he hasn't seen a draw that good in a long time. I think the Len Smith Mile was the best draw he's seen for a while, and that was against Grand Circuit horses, and he still performed very well and run fifth. But we're up against Better Bet Black this week, and he sort of runs the gate fairly hard, so we'll see how we go. Hopefully we can get a nice spot.
Does he race as well just off the speed as he does when he's in front?
Yeah, he can do, yeah.
Okay.
I think he showed that three starts ago.
Yep. And what about Ego Dan in race number seven? A horse that was a last start winner, has been absolutely flying for the stable, looks well placed in a C3 to C5 race.
Yeah, it does look like a nice race for him, that one. He sort of went really good last week, got a bit of luck in running, but he was too good.
Okay. And have you grown in confidence since you've arrived in Sydney because of your results? Are the winners that you're driving helping with your confidence and allowing you to fit in Sydney, you know, against some of the best drivers in the country?
Yeah, that probably helps too. It sort of helps. I'm sort of friends with a few of the boys from down here before I moved, so I was sort of able to fit right in, and it's been good.
Okay, mate. Well, congratulations. I know you're enjoying your best season so far in the sport, and I've got no doubt that people are going to continue to take advantage of that junior claim. All the best of luck on Saturday night, and we look forward to seeing you drive plenty more winners.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Brendan Barnes. He's a young driver doing a lot of driving for Kevin Pizzuto. But, you know, they continually are using his claim. It is really, really, you know, he's driving. It's like a, because he put it, you know, in a racing parlance, it's like an apprentice jockey with a big claim. He's just, you know, obviously there's no weight allowance here, but they do get an allowance at the barriers, and that helps. But he's just a young kid driving with plenty, he's just making the right decision at the right time, and I think he's got a big, big future in the sport.
Well, Darren Hancock joins you now, Greg.
Darren, thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, how are you, Greg?
Really well, mate. A couple of horses I want to talk to you about. Firstly, Fly Like an Eagle. He's back to trial today at Menangle.
Yeah, he's going around today. He's had a few trials. He's been okay. He's pulling up all right after every run, so that's good, and he seems healthy enough, and we'll go around again today, and then we'll have a look for a race for him, you know?
What are you thinking of his preparation so far?
Yeah, he's been good. He's actually a bloody pleasure to train. You know, he's a lovely horse, and he's had no issues. It's been pretty good. He's just had a long time off, and it takes a while to get him back. You know, a lot of trials and a lot of mucking around, but he's coming along pretty good.
What about his zest for racing? Is it still there?
Oh, well, he's trialled okay. I was happy with his trial the other day. He sat outside and they went a quick half, and he did pretty good. He'll go around again today, and then he's not far off having a race, really.
I guess that the big problem with these sorts of horses when they do come back to the races is you've nearly got to have them at 100% when they step out onto the racetrack because they're so highly assessed.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. You're not going to get an easy race anywhere, so you could have a look for one, but I mean, he'll probably just race on an angle, and he'll have to go straight in the free for alls, which is tough. But and you've got to probably drive him a little bit quiet the first couple of times, see what he does. You know, but he's really happy at the moment, anyway.
And how did you come about to get the horse?
Rob Woodhouse rang me up and said they want to put him back in work, and he was at stud, so that's John Curtin. He's owned in America, and they just asked me to take him. And, I didn't know it was the right horse when they said Fly Like an Eagle, you know, but he was a great young horse, and he's had a fair time off. So, you know, it was a bit of if he come up all right, we keep going. If he don't, we'll put him back in the paddock, you know. So he seems good at the moment anyway.
We've got a race at Addington coming up. Are the plans to put him back at stud at the breeding season, or are you not in the loop with that?
Yeah, I'm not in the loop with that. I mean, I'm just trying to get him back to the races, and we'll see how it goes from there, you know.
Darren, another one of the superstars in the stable at the moment is On Thunder Road. He's won three in a row. He's in on Saturday night in the last event. It's a Group 3 race. You've drawn the inside of the second row. Are you happy with where he's at the moment?
Yeah, no, Greg, he just keeps getting better every time I step out, really. He's just a lovely horse, and he's done a bloody good job, really. I think he's had 50 starts with 24 wins or something trotting, so he's going very good at the moment.
Is it scary to think that he just keeps on improving every preparation you give him?
Yeah, every time I give him a little let-up, he comes back and he just does it. And he's a real nice horse to train, and he just wants to do it, you know. And he's so tough, you know, he loves it. So you know, I don't know, in the next 12 months, you know, you might see the best of him, you know.
So you haven't been afraid to travel with him this preparation. Does that suggest that you're getting ready for bigger races, you know, next season and maybe, you know, some of the biggest trot races in Australia?
Yeah, that's right, Greg. I'll take him, you know, later on in the Southern Star and all that down there in Melbourne. He missed it this year, but he wasn't probably quite ready. But I've travelled around a little bit. Went to Melbourne the last few weeks, and he handled himself really good against them horses. And, for what's around at the moment, you know, he's up there with the best of them. So, and I just think he's on the way up anyway. So as long as he stays sound and everything good, we should be right.
What about if you were to clash with Keystone Dell? How do you think you'd go?
Oh, well, Keystone Dell's getting a bit older, and I'm probably on my way up, you know, so that's the only reason. But he's very tough, you know. Keystone Dell's probably got more speed than me, but in the long run, if I got in front of Keystone Dell, it'd be a good race.
Okay. A couple of trialists today. Two very, very well-bred two-year-olds. You've got a Victor, which is a Sunbeach somewhere out of Vertigal. What can you tell us about it? What are you expecting?
Yeah, they've had a trial last week. They went nice. She's a nice little filly. First foal out of Vertigal. Good little mare that David Thorne raced, and doing it okay. You know, never rushed them early. They had it broken in, then just put out for a while, and then we just brought them back. But she goes nice. She's just got to keep improving, and then she'll be ready for a start. And I've got another one there, the Sunbeach somewhere out of
Dance of Life.
Yeah, Dance of Life, the good mare Fitzy had, and he's a nice little horse. He trialled very good the other day, actually. His first trial, they went bloody 53.7 or something. Oof. For the trip, and he run third. He went very good.
So will we see them, or is this just an education prep?
Probably start them soon. You know, I'll give them a couple of trials and see how they go today. And if they measure up all right, then they'll be looking for a race late in the season anyway.
How have you found the working with the Sunbeaches? Are they easy to train, or do they have a tendency to get a little bit hot?
Yeah, well, some people say they get a little bit hot, but these two are nice little horses. You know, they're out of good mares, but, I mean, they seem good. They're not very big, these two. They're only little fellas, but the mares are only small. So, they've been good. Good to train, actually.
Well, mate, all the best of luck on Saturday night with On Thunder Road. He does look hard to beat in that race, despite the second row draw. And we look forward to seeing what happens with Fly Like an Eagle today. It's not an easy trial. You're taking on our Waikiki Beach, and Better Bet Black's in there as well. So there'll be some speed on, you know that.
Yeah, exactly, and I'll drop him out the back and drive him like I did the other day. You know, I just want him to run home pretty good. I'll be happy, you know.
All right, mate. Good luck with him.
Righto, thank you.
There he is, Darren Hancock, who's training Fly Like an Eagle.
Now, the tow dividend to through there, Addington, just clear these, Greg. 5, Terror Alert, 1080, 220. Seven, another cruise, 5, 10, 3, Cosmic Chelsea, 104, 410, Summer Love. Jason Grimson's with you.
Jason, thanks very much for your time this morning. How are you enjoying the move to Sydney?
Yeah, no, it's not too bad. The weather's a lot better.
It's not as hard to get up in the mornings with the cold mornings. Of course, formerly from Young, you're a late starter into the sport, but you've made the decision to come to the Big Smoke to try and get a few opportunities. You're working for Jared Alchin. The reason behind the move, is it to try and make the big step and turn it into a full-time career?
Yeah, that's it, mate. I like the challenge sort of thing, and I think I'm ready to come up here and give it a go. Sort of, so yeah, now's probably the right time.
Yeah, the Rising Stars, that would have given you a nice little boost as well. Obviously had a lot of success in that series, and it allowed you to get your name out right around the state rather than just the area where you were having success.
Yeah, that's it. It's a really good series. Like, it sort of gets your name out there, and you get to drive against good young junior drivers, and you get to drive at the Menangle track, which is good. So, yeah, it was a good series.
Tell us about how you got involved in the sport. Obviously, your dad, Colin, was a very talented trainer and was very good, winning races left, right, and centre right around the country. Did you have an interest in the sport from day dot?
Yeah, when I was younger, I was really into it, and Dad sort of got out of it as I got older, and I started concreting, and I'll give that a go, and then I ended up moving back to Young to Mum and Dad's, and I just started getting back into it, and I've really enjoyed it so far, so yeah, and I've had a bit of success, so that helps.
And you were riding a bit of track work for a galloping trainer down there?
Yeah, before school I used to get up at 4:30 and go ride the gallopers. That was a lot of fun, but we had a bit of success there too.
And that would have taught you a fair bit about horses in general as well?
Yeah, that's it. Like, it was really good help to me, sort of thing.
Okay, and what about, the decision to move up to Jared Alchins? Obviously, you had a nice little setup going there with Josh Powderly. Was it a tough decision to make the move to Sydney?
Yeah, it was hard. I always knew I was going to have to move up here, and it's sort of hard when you first come up here because not many people know you in that, but I knew I wasn't going to get that many drives when I first come up here, but I'm willing to give it a go, you know.
Yeah, well, we're having a chat with Brendan Barnes before on the show, and obviously that claim is a big help, especially, on the bigger tracks at Menangle. If you can draw if trainers can use your claim to get better draws, I think that's going to help you get a number of drives. So people can just give you a ring on your mobile number for drives going forward?
Yeah, just give me a ring on my number or contact me on Facebook ring Jared.
Yeah, well, yeah, even give Jared a ring. Well, mate, it's good to see that you've decided to make the move. I must ask you about your filly. Don't Think Twice. Of course, we saw her go around, and a lot of people expected her to be the winner of the Breeders' Challenge. Things didn't go right on the day, but how's she?
Nah, she pulled up good. We turned her out and gave her a couple of months off. There wasn't too much left for her, so hopefully next year she can develop into an Oaks filly.
Will she come up to you here in Sydney?
Yeah, I'm hoping she should. She should be back in probably 2 months' time, so yeah,
okay.
She'll come up here.
And what did you... So nothing wrong after the Breeders' Challenge run? It was just forced to do too much work?
Yeah, she was six wide into that first corner. It just sort of took it out of her late, but I was real happy with her run. I thought she went super.
Okay. Well, mate, congratulations with what you've done so far. I think your phone will run off the hook. I think you'll find that there'll be people wanting to use your claim and obviously the talent you've got, and we wish you all the best of luck here in Sydney.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for it, mate.
All right, there he is, Jason Grimson. It's been the decision to make the move from Young to Sydney has been in the pipeline for quite some time. I thought it might have happened straight after the Rising Stars, but it just took a little while for that final move. But I think, Cozzy, we're going to see a young guy who's got a fair bit of ability get a number of chances here in Sydney.
All righty, Kyle Harper's with you now, Greg.
Kyle Harper, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you going?
Really well, mate. Congratulations with the win on Fort Knox over in America. How was that experience?
Thank you very much, Greg. Mate, that was a fantastic experience. It was only a $14,000 race, but you would have thought I won a Group 1 with a smile on my face after. It was, very hard to explain. Just a fantastic experience. Not many people get an opportunity to do so. Great thrill.
How did it all come about, the opportunity to go over to America?
A friend of a friend of a friend, basically, through family connections, and a friend's mother knew a guy over there's mother and whatnot, whose husband happened to train horses, and they sort of knew me from years and years and years ago when I was a young fella, and I guess they'd just been watching me over here, and one thing led to another. I was always talked about going to America, always said I wanted to go over and have a go and just see how they do it over there. And one day he invited me out and said, we'll get the owners over here to pay your flights across and get you out here driving a few horses and see how you go. So it was just an opportunity I couldn't refuse.
And so was the plan to only go for a short period of time? Was that what was going to happen always?
No, it wasn't, Greg. Unfortunately, I didn't quite understand the visa system. I was thinking that I could get a short-term visa and extend it over there if things went well, if I was happy and liked it. Which I did. I loved it. I would have been there now if I had been able to stay. But unfortunately, I only got the 3 month visa and I wasn't able to change it. A few people sort of indicated to me earlier, oh, maybe you can fly up to Canada, they said, and fly back to the States. That way, technically, you're leaving the States and coming back. But their immigration rules are pretty strict and they're pretty hot on that sort of thing these days. So unfortunately, I only had the 3 month visa. Otherwise, I would have stayed for at least 12 months. But I wasn't able to change it there, and I thought I'd better do the right thing because I would love to go back at some point. But, I think it's one of those things, like anything, you've got to work at it and you've got to take your time. And 3 months just wasn't quite long enough, given the fact that when I first logged Greg, I was still suspended from here. I had a horse drift in the sprint lane just before the end of a race, and rules being what they are, unfortunately, I copped a one-month suspension. So I was unable to drive for the first month I was there, so I really only drove for about a month and a half there. So the opportunities were just starting to pick up. I was just starting to get some outside drives when I had to pack my bags and leave, unfortunately.
So how does it work over there in terms of picking up drives from trainers? Is it just word of mouth success that you're having? Is that how it works?
Pretty much. Everybody's really into their harness racing over there, so people notice a new fellow that rocks up and that sort of thing. But it's very similar to here. Unfortunately, I didn't have a system where they had everyone's names and numbers in the book, so I wasn't able to actually ring up and terrorise anyone for a drive. But people see you drive, they see you drive a winner, and they see you sit in the bike and think you look all right, or they get stuck for a driver. And quite often they have they call them qualifiers, but they're essentially the same as our trials here. And I'll have them on one day, say a Wednesday at certain tracks and a Tuesday at certain tracks. And quite often the big wigs don't like to go down, and they always get stuck for drivers. So I was finding myself going down there quite often, and just people that were supposed to go, drivers that were supposed to go, don't turn up. And it's sort of an expected thing that they're probably not going to turn up, a lot of them. So they're happy to go, well, this guy's here, we'll chuck him on. And if you do a good job for him in the qualifier, they're happy to give you a go on the trial most of them, and in a race, sorry, most of them.
And
that was a great avenue to pick up some drives and get my name out there.
And so what's going to happen in the future? Like, how long have you got to be back here? You obviously want to get back there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just not sure. I was thinking about going straight back. It's a little bit of a complex situation getting the proper visa. I think I've got to get a sporting visa, and I'm still looking into it currently. But at the moment, I've got Better's Fire back at work. I had my brother Donald jog him up while I was away, so he's ready to go. He had his first trial Sunday just gone. He just followed him around for a bit of fitness, but he's a very classy horse, and whether he's going to be right up there in the finish in the Inter Dominion series is a question to yet be told. But he's certainly going to be eligible to go around, and just to say that you've got a horse going around in the series is a pretty big thrill in itself. So I thought I might take him through the series this year and re-establish after that and see where I'm at, and probably go back next year.
So and obviously look for that 12-month visa?
Yeah, exactly. That'll be the plan. When I go back, whether it's next year or a little bit longer or what, I'll definitely be going back for a longer period of at least 12 months. As I said, it's a process, and there's some very good drivers over there, Greg. Unlike here where they have a junior driver system, all those guys over there have been doing it for 15, 20 years to really earn their spot. And where I was sort of racing at the bigger tracks, say your Menangle, Gloucester Park, Friday night sort of set up. They're all the top dogs, and they're all in their 30s, early 30s to late 30s, if not older.
Yep.
So probably one of the youngest guys going around, because they've been working at it for a long time, so it is hard to pick up drives there, especially for a young bloke. I could have gone out to the Narragans, Northam, sort of WA, the country track, sort of in comparison to over there, but just the guy I was with, he raced a lot at the bigger tracks, and I guess it's just something that would take time and people to get to know you and get yourself established. So 3 months was never going to cut it from the start. So it would definitely need to be a 12-month or longer thing, which I would love to do at some point.
Is there something you think that Australian racing can learn from American racing?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always something everyone can learn from everyone, I think. But I think there's some things that we do better here, and I think there's a hell of a lot of things they do better over there. It's kind of hard to explain. It's so similar over there, but yet so different. It's really just, in a way, a parallel universe. It's getting to the same end product, but just doing it so differently. But there's certainly fantastic things they do over there. The racing, they have 20-minute gaps between racing. It's all very professional, and they just run through them so evenly, and it's fantastic in that aspect. They'll have 15 races on a night, and it certainly doesn't feel like it. A day at Pinjarra on a Monday over here in WA, where they got 40 minutes between the races, feels like you're there for 3 weeks. But over there, they run through 15 races, and it seems to go by in a breeze, which is fantastic. Obviously, the more races, the more tote turnover, the more opportunities people get.
Yeah. And what about the lean? Did you develop the lean over there while you were in the States?
I did a bit. They got some fantastic bikes over there. Obviously, they're a bit closer to them, and they're a bit wider, so they naturally sit back that bit more. But I've always tried to sort of get a bit of a lean on here when we've had the American bikes here for the last 6 or 7 years. I was one of the first guys over in WA to start leaning back in the bike, just because it's natural, you know, that's the way the bikes were designed. And Trevor Warwick, the driving master over here a few years back now when I was still a junior driver, I was talking to him about it one day, and he just said, you know, the boys over there, they lean back. And he said he was talking to Campbell over there, who's just a champion driver, has been for decades and decades. And he said once one of the boys over in Oz starts leaning back in them bikes, he's really going to see a difference and set the world alight. And Trevor said, give it a go. And I tried it one day and probably wasn't leaning back as far as I probably should have been. But I went down to drive a horse at Northern for Shannon Savalco. And he had an Evolution bike. It was one of the original Harmer bikes, one of the original American bikes. And he had it set up for himself. And those original bikes, you couldn't just easily move the seat or the footrest. They were bolted in.
Yeah.
We didn't have any tools to change it. So I had to really sort of slip down in the bike and get really straight-legged and lean back just to reach the stirrups. But I had my hands right back in the stirrups. And I drove a little horse called Terrifying. And when I got back in the bike, she took off on me. And I sort of still had plenty of control, but she took off, and I sat up a bit in the bike, and she dropped the bit. I went, that was odd. During the run, I experimented a little bit, and I sat forward, and she dropped the bit, and I sat back, and she picked up the bit. And I found, and I learned, that you could actually create a lot more speed and get a horse to travel a lot better sitting back in the bike. I mean, it's a little bit like when a horse takes off, and you're too far back in the grips, and they can sense that you don't really have control of them.
Yeah.
Even when in a race situation where you're leaning back in the bike and your hands are a little bit far back, you've always got control of them. But it's almost that illusion to the horse. They can sense what you're feeling. And you almost feel, especially to start with, that you don't have as much control as when you sit forward. Even though you're perfectly safe and you've got enough control to be safe out there, they just seem to pick up and feed off that, and they just seem to be able to create more speed and run that bit faster. It's quite an amazing thing to experience. And certainly when I got in the bikes over there, they sit you right back and they're right up close to the horse. So it was a great experience to get right back in the bike, and it's sort of harder to do here in the longer bikes, but I certainly picked a little bit of it up, I think. Yeah, for sure, Greg.
Well, mate, congratulations with a win over there. We'll follow you closely. We'll and also look forward to seeing you hopefully completing that Inter Dominion. Thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Kyle Harper, Cozzy. And that wraps up On the Pace, my first On the Pace back in many years.
Good on you. Good to have you back, Greg. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, mate. Talk to you
soon. Thanks a lot. Greg Hayes there.